Would you take your Bible and turn with us to Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue our study and what God is telling us he expects of his children. I assume that most here are his children. And there may be somebody here who thinks he is God's child and may not be. If that be the case, then I would pray that God would illuminate your heart this morning. Let's see what God's Word has to say. For this morning's passage, we pick up with verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. And God says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For fruit of the Spirit, and may I pause just a moment to say that if you're using a different translation other than the King James, your Bible may say fruit of the light. I'll deal with that in a minute. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, "Awaketh thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Well, as you can tell, as we look at these verses, it's mentioning light and darkness quite a bit. A lot of misunderstanding in the minds, not only of people in the world who don't know the Lord Jesus, but of a lot of Christians about light. Back over in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Scripture tells us that God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And the next verse says that God saw the light and said, "It's good." In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In other words, he identified himself as the source of light. Well, what does that mean? Turn back over to John chapter 1 with me for just a moment. The Gospel of John is particularly written to tell us about the deity of Christ. It begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word." Let me read it to you in the way that it is actually stated in the grammar of the Greek, "When the beginning began." Were any of you around when the beginning began? Let me look around. I have some elderly folks in the choir. Bruce, were you here then? No. There seem to be a lot of people who think they are authorities on the beginning, but we're not here. Who was here when the beginning began? God. And this is God's Word. Now, you may be a smart scientist and able to analyze various evidences that you find, but you were not there, were you? Oftentimes, we make observations. I find it very interesting that the very same people who criticize the police for coming to a wrong conclusion when they are examining the evidence in a crime, and sometimes they do make mistakes, don't they, are absolutely certain about things that happened that are described in Genesis 1, but they weren't there. They are basically following the same logic, that is, they are examining some evidences which may not tell the whole story. And so let's look here in John chapter 1 for a minute, because we're going to talk about this matter of light and walking as God's children of light. And actually it says, when the beginning began, that's the tense in the Greek. We don't have that tense in English. When the beginning began, whenever that was, so in your mind, put a dot back out there somewhere. I don't care where you put it. The Bible would put it about 6,000 years ago. That's what God says. Put a dot there. Before that dot, before the beginning, the Word always had been. You got that in your mind? My mind runs out. That takes me back to infinity. I don't know where infinity is. And so when the beginning began, the Word always had been, and the Word always had been face to face, equal with God. Second phrase. And then the startling thing in the last phrase of verse 1, God always has been the Word. There never has been a time when God was not the Word. Now, who is the Word? It tells us down here in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. The Word who always has been was made flesh. Now go on and read with me in John chapter 1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, each and everything, was created by Him, and without Him was not anything brought into existence or made. And then it tells us in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. Light came out of the life. Out of the life of God. That's the source of life. Small flashlight. Got some couple of batteries in it. Not much, but you can see the light. The light comes out of the life of God. Verse 4 of John 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It didn't receive it. It didn't accept it. In other words, if you were to shut your eyes and not accept the light, you would not be comprehending. You would not be receiving the light. You would be shutting yourself off from it. The light would be there, but you would not accept it. That's exactly what it's telling us in verse 5. The light was there, but men would not take it. They would not receive it. And so verse 6 tells us there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. And the same came for a witness, that is, to present the evidence, the truth, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In English, we have just one word, L-I-G-H-T. That's the light, all kinds of light. Just for the light from the flashlight, light from these bulbs, light from the sun, light, whatever it's from. In the language of the New Testament, there are many different words. The word that we've been reading for light is P-H-O-S, phos. We use it in many ways, phosphorus. You know what that means. That's something that is iridescent and reflects light. But there's a source light, and that's who we're reading about right here. And back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Just keep your finger back here in John 1 for a minute, because we're coming back in just a second. Coming back to John. We read that you and I are to walk as children of light. That is, we're to walk in such a way as to indicate that we have that life in us that we were reading about in John chapter 1. Do you have that light in you? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Back over in John chapter 1, we read the light was in him because he is life. He is life in him. And he gives life and he gives light. Light is often, almost always, an expression of energy. Something burns and it gives off light. It's a visible expression of the presence of energy. All the energy is in God. All of it. Now, we are told we're to walk as children of the light, of light. There's a need here. Because light produces three things, we're told, in verse 9 of Ephesians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit are light, if that's what your Bible says. It doesn't much matter because light is a result of the presence of the Spirit. It's three things. Fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. That is, anything that is worth anything. The word goodness there means not only beautiful, not only something we call good, but it's beneficial. Everything that's beneficial to you is a fruit of the light, of the presence of God. Secondly, all that is right, all righteousness. You know, I can take a straight edge and a pencil and draw a crooked line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have a hard time drawing a straight line. I can see people take a pencil in their hand and draw a straight line. I can take a straight edge and draw a crooked line. There isn't much right about me. But everything that is right, that is perfect, comes out of the light, which is God, in God, and expressed and given to us. And all truth issues forth out of him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that is true issues forth out of the person of God. So if somebody makes a statement and it is true, it came from God. And there can be no mixture of truth and error with God. And so God tells us in verse 10, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so I'm to live my life and you're to live your life. If you are a believer, a child of God, I am to live my life in the way that is pleasing unto God. May not be pleasing to me. May not be pleasing to you. Sometimes what is acceptable and pleasing unto us is not pleasing unto God. And sometimes what is acceptable and pleasing unto God may not be pleasing unto us, may not be likable. If you permit me, I pray many times that God may heal my wife. God has not chosen to do that. It would be pleasing to me for God to do that. But apparently there's something else that's pleasing to God. But what I am to do, I am to put into practice that which is pleasing unto God. And so if there's something in my life that I'm doing that isn't pleasing to God, as a child of the light, child of God, I am to give proof to that. I am to discard that. Now come to verse 11 with me, and have no fellowship. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we have the fullest discussion or presentation of God about what is pleasing unto God in the matter of worship. In our day and time, we have the worship wars. Churches fighting over what they want to do in worship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we have stated very clearly what is pleasing unto God in the area of worship. It tells me, beginning in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Can you put them together? No, you can't. Because if you mix in a little bit of unrighteousness, you don't have righteousness anymore. And the last part of verse 14, and this is all we're really going to go to in this passage. What communion hath light with darkness? In the darkest of nights or the darkest of rooms, all it takes is just a bit of light. The light is incompatible with the darkness. And the darkness is intolerable of the light. You see, light chases away the darkness. You cannot have a mixture of light and darkness. They cannot exist together. They have nothing at all in common. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, God says to us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Back up in the previous verse, he told us what is fruitful. What? Goodness, beneficial, right, and truth. Darkness produces the opposite of that. Darkness always destroys. Darkness represents the presence of Satan, evil. A moment ago, you read from John chapter 3, so let's turn there. Understand, I may or may not follow the outline that you have in the bulletin. That's prepared on no later than Thursday or Friday, so you can have it. And by the time we get to Sunday morning, sometimes God has me do things a little differently. Okay. John chapter 3, verse 16, you read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it tells us, this is the dividing line. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then it explains in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Remember back over in John chapter 1, we read that. Where it says, the darkness comprehendeth it not, it rejects it, it will not accept it. And so it tells us here in John 3:19, this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness. Men love Satan. Men love sin. Rather than light. You say, that's crazy. That's right. You see, sin makes the mind illogical. Sin perverts the desires so that one will desire what is destructive to him instead of what is beneficial to him. Our world is full of illustrations of that. People become addicted, dependent upon that which is self-destructive. Alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever. Almost anything can become addictive. It destroys. Makes a slave out of an individual. And so this is a combination that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They have come to where they love evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Why does he hate the light? Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, back over here in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that we are to prove what is good and acceptable. How do you prove it? You shine the light of God on it. You test it. You bring it, the fullness, the reality of it to it. And so when you see that in verse 11, you're not to have any fellowship with it because you don't have anything in common with it. You are poles apart. And so in John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That is, that the light should illuminate. Why do thieves break into houses in the darkness? Why do people commit crimes at night? Because it's evil, the darkness of the night. They try to hide it. And so he that doeth truth cometh to the light, but he that doeth evil, it is deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You were in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 a moment ago. Please turn to chapter 4. Last Sunday, we focused upon the false prophets and false teachers and the deceitfulness of Satan. And here is another verse. Paul says in verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, not twisting its meaning, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, remember back over in John chapter 1, it told us that the light shines in the world, but the world does not receive it. We read in John chapter 3, verse 19, that evil doesn't come to the light, it rejects the light. Here we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who? In whom, verse 5, the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, if you have not yet given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what's happened. Whatever the excuse or reason or rationalization may be, the devil has blinded your mind. He's put a scab over your mind. He's put a cover over your mind. Maybe it's your mama or daddy's fault. Maybe it's that hypocrite's fault next door. Maybe it's because you just intellectually don't comprehend and you want to intellectually argue with what God says. It doesn't matter. The devil doesn't matter why you. Whatever works, he only has one objective, and that's to keep you from being saved. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to keep you. And he'll blind your mind, it says in verse 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That is, illuminate their minds, chase away the darkness so they can see. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants for Christ's sake. And then get verse 6, please. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, Genesis 1:3, John 8:12, has shined in our hearts, has illuminated our hearts. All of a sudden, the windows of our soul were open, and the light of God flooded our hearts. You know what we saw when our lights got, our souls got flooded? We saw sin. We saw cockroaches. We saw filth. Have you seen the filth in your heart? You say, preacher, don't talk to me like that. God's word says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that God blinds our hearts so that we cannot see ourselves as we are. Because when the light of God shines in, when the windows are open and the light of God can shine in, then it shines in our hearts. That is, it illuminates it. All of a sudden, what was dark gets light. Go home from church today and take a flashlight and shine it under your bed. If I were a wagering man, I'd bet you at lunch that you're going to find some dust and dirt there. You know, there are a lot of things you can see when you turn the light on. Light's a funny thing. I have a fireplace in my study, and doesn't matter what I do, wasps come down my chimney. And so to keep them in my study and keep them from getting in the rest of the house, I shut the doors and I open the shutters on one window. And I'm as deceitful as all get out to those wasps. They come out of the chimney and they see that window and they can't see the glass. So they fly to the window and I grab the fly swatter and I got a pile of wasps beneath it. I'm going to kill every one of them. Light chases away the darkness so you can see what's there. You can't see what's in your heart till the light of Jesus illuminates the crevices of selfishness, self-centeredness, deceit. How many of you told a lie this week? And the rest of you just did. You know where every lie comes from? Comes from the Satan. The Bible tells us in John 8:44 that he's the father, the source of every lie. And yet I read in Ephesians 5:8 that I'm to walk as a child of the light. And I read in Ephesians 5:11 that I'm not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Deceit and lying is a evidence of the presence of Satan. And it's so terrible, Paul says in verse 12, don't even talk about the things of darkness. Just get rid of them. It's a shame to talk about them. The youth minister thought that he wanted to find out what his kids were watching and seeing, so he decided to go to the websites that he knew his kids were going to, so he could see, so he could better communicate with them. He became addicted to pornography. Paul says it's a shame to even talk about some of this stuff. I don't need to mention it to you. Now turn with me over to 1 John chapter 1. You understand, if you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ is going to shine in your heart, and he's going to illuminate the filth of sin that's there. But God's light, if you receive it, if you receive Jesus Christ, will make a different person out of you, will chase away the darkness and the sin. So in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So I see all the time people saying that they're Christians And they decide to live together in sexual sin without getting married. I see all the time people who say that they're Christians who become constant liars. They lie about this, lie about that, lie about that. So there is a walk of deceit. There is a walk of sin. They walk in darkness. What does it say? If we say if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're lying. We say we're a child of God, but we habitually engage in some act of sin. Now, any of us can stumble and fall and commit a hideous act of sin. But only a pig enjoys wallowing in a mud pit. And as it says in both the Proverbs and in 1 Peter, only a dog returns to his own vomit. So if we continue to walk in a lifestyle of sin, any kind of sin, and we say we're Christian, we're lying. The truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us. I need that. I need that. You see, the ETH on the end of the word cleanseth, there in verse 7, that means continuous action, present tense, continuous repeated action. God's Son's blood keeps on cleansing me of my sin because I'm walking in the light. If we say that we haven't sinned, that's why I asked you a while ago to raise your hand. Most of you didn't. We say we haven't. What does it say? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You see, God's Holy Spirit has a habit of taking a sharp finger and punching it into my chest. When I was growing up a little boy, and I did something that I didn't want to do. My dad didn't want me to do. The first thing he would do to rebuke me, he'd take his finger. He'd stick it. I just looked at it and it hurt. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does to me. So every time I sin, Holy Spirit makes me know about it. I don't like that. It makes me feel bad. What can I do? Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you turn the page in 1 John to the 3rd chapter, please? You see back over here in 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth, continuously does something that is sinful, as a pattern, as a way of life, transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins in him. That is Christ. There is no sin. Whosoever abides in him does not continue to sin. Okay. You brush your teeth this morning. You take the toothpaste and you squeeze something out of the tube. What came out of it? Something white? Toothpaste? Right. If something dirty and dark came out of it, what would you do? You'd throw it away because it's gotten polluted in some way. It would not be of any use. Whatever's on the inside of that tube of toothpaste is what you're going to squeeze out. You can't squeeze out what's not in it. If darkness and sin is in your heart, then your actions are going to be reflective of what's in you. But if the light of God is in your heart, whosoever abides in him does not keep on sinning. Whosoever sins, keeps on sinning, hath not seen him, neither known him. You see, an individual who says that he is a Christian, but he is also homosexual, is lying. Because in Romans chapter 1, God's very, very clear. And many other places, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whosoever keeps on lying and telling a lie, he lies about his taxes. It's tax season, isn't it? You say, boy, I just got by the government on that one. Did you? But you didn't get by God. God saw it. You may not get checked because of my huge expenses this past year. I'm sure I'm going to get checked. I got every piece of paper to document everything I'm claiming. Let them come. I don't really want to fool with them, but I'm ready. And it better be ready right to the penny. You see, the old boy that cheats on his taxes and he thinks that he's gotten one by, what he's done, he's made his neighbor pay his share, hasn't he? Yeah. Ever think about it that way? The guy whom the cashier gives the wrong amount to, you know, every once in a while I drive up to the bank window to make my deposit. The other day there was a different gal there, and I wanted to wrote a check for $200 cash. I needed some cash, so I said, I want 10 20s and 10 5s. She added up real quick. That's $250. She said, wait, what did you say? She probably would have given it to me, but I couldn't have taken it. I just have fun with them. I can't. Holy Spirit, stick his finger there. You see, it's incompatible with my nature. I might be able to do it, but I can't get away with it with God or with my nature. So whosoever abides in him does not keep on sinning. He can't enjoy it. He can't do it continuously. And if an individual keeps on sinning, he's not known him. And so he says in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. But he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth, continues to commit sin, is of the devil. You say you've been saved? Why are you keeping on living in this sin then that you're engaging in? You know, what you're telling me is that you're a deceiver. That's what God says. You're of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not keep on committing sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. Turn with me, would you please, over to Matthew chapter 5. Now, God did something when he saved you. When Jesus Christ came to live inside of you, he made you a container so that his light, which originates in him, that light does not originate in you. And so when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that's in the house. So it chases away the darkness that's there. It does its purpose. And so it says, verse 16, let your light so shine before men. That's the light of God that's in you. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't originate with you. It originates with him. It's put in you when you give your heart and life to him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That is, they may see your daily lifestyle, the choices you make. You don't have to go and point your finger at somebody who's reprobate and point out his sin to him. All you have to do is live as Jesus would live in that circumstance, and the light of Jesus Christ will illuminate him, and it will display his evil. He may react against you. He may say, I hate you. I don't want to be around you. I'm not comfortable with you. I don't want to be around you. is not because you have pointed your finger at him or you have discussed his evil lifestyle. It's simply because you are there. And the light of Jesus Christ is illuminating through him. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that is, the way you live, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Turn back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Very, very important that you get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A moment ago we read verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then it says, "But we have this treasure." What treasure? The treasure we've been reading about. The light to the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I love J.B. Phillips' translation of verse 7. He says, "We have this treasure in cracked clay pots." When I die, you don't have to buy a casket. Just put my body back in the ground. And in time, I will return. My body will return to the dust. I'm of the dust of the earth. And you are too. I'm a clay pot. I'm a cracked clay pot. J.P. Phillips said cracked clay pots. But he said one other thing. He said cracked, transparent clay pots. So God has taken you and he's come to live in your heart because you chose to give your life to Jesus Christ. Now inside of you is not only the person of Christ, but you have the person of Christ shining his light through the cracks that compose your existence. So when you say, "I'm going to go over here and I'm going to engage in this particular lifestyle, this action, because I enjoy doing it," this action of you call sin, God calls sin, you know what you're saying? You're saying Jesus doesn't live inside of you. Because we have just read that if you can continuously commit sin, live a lifestyle of sin, you do not know him. We just read that. We read a moment ago that what is there in common between light and darkness? And there isn't any. The light chases away the darkness. And so back to Ephesians chapter 5. We are told here, verse 14. We have a series of commands here. The first command was in verse 8. Walk as children of light. The second command was in verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The third command is in verse 14, awake. You've been asleep. Wake up. And the fourth one is also in verse 14, arise. Get up. Go to work. Let the light of Jesus Christ shining through you chase away the darkness. And some of the people that get illuminated are going to say, "I want that light." Some people are going to say, "I'm tired of stumbling around in this world." Because you simply conveyed the light that's in you. And you showed them what a life can be like. Would you bow your head with me, please? Some people think they can't be witnesses. Don't know how. You are a witness. You are. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to take a training class to become a witness. Once you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you become a witness. You become a living statement of who God is and what he does. You become a living example. So God says, do not have any fellowship with the things of the devil. things of evil, the things of sin. You say, well, preacher, that's hard. Well, the Holy Spirit who lives in you will enable you if you will make the right choices. Now, it may be that this morning God's Spirit has come and convicted somebody's heart. And it may be that there's somebody sitting in this congregation this morning who said you were a Christian, but you never gave your heart and life to the Lord, and you know it. And God has reminded you this morning that you haven't yet fallen in love with the things of Jesus. He doesn't really occupy a first place in your life because you've just been pretending and playing the game. And you're miserable on the inside, and you're empty. That's easy to solve, my dear friend. Give your heart to Jesus. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and live his life in you. You'll find the peace and the joy that you've been hungry for all this time. He'll come if you'll ask him. If you'll give it to him, he'll come. So right now, where you're seated, you can ask him into your heart. He'll come. He'll chase away the darkness. And he'll live inside of you. And if there's somebody here this morning and you know you've given your heart and life to him and you are now his child, maybe that he's saying to you he wants you to be a part of this church family. Wherever your membership has been, he wants you to be a member of this church. We invite you, when we stand to sing the hymn of invitation in a minute, to come make your wishes known to me that you're doing what God's telling you to do. So if you're giving your heart to Jesus, or if you're coming to move your membership, or perhaps coming to rededicate your life, then you come when we begin to sing. Our dear Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for your word. Please, dear Father, help us. Help us, O Father, to accept what you say and to live by it and to act by it and let you live your life through us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.